Hi, and welcome back to a new episode of Sassy Single Mums. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a new episode of Sassy Single Mums. My name is Winnie, and I'm the founder and host of the Sassy Single Mums podcast. I built this show with one goal, and that was to share the stories of single mums who are challenging the status quo by tackling parenting with sass. On today's show, I'm speaking to sassy mum Gemma about her experience as a single mum since she broke up with the father of her child from the back of having a toxic relationship. We look back at her childhood and how the absence of her father could have led to her somehow making bad decisions when it came to dating men, and then later on realizing that she needed to go through some form of therapy and then kind of a recovery phase to get her to a stage where she can actually start establishing new, fresh relationships. So we're going to hear more from her. Hi, Gemma. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to speak with you.
Same here. I'm really excited to speak to you. So obviously, over the last couple of weeks, it's been there's been a lot of things happening, but particularly last week, it was Father's Day. So I know I kind of shared a few posts on single mothers and their relationship with men and male role models and just kind of overall male influences and the impact that it can have on children.
Yeah.
So as a single mother raising a beautiful, gorgeous young girl, how old is she? If you can just tell us a little bit more.
She is 4, going on 14. She'll be soon to be, seriously, she'll be 5 soon, actually. So yeah, time goes so quickly.
It does go quickly. And it's funny you say that, because today I was actually showing, so my son Tyrone asked me for a USB, and I found an old USB, and I just had to check what was on the USB before I gave it to him. Just in case. And then I found some old pictures of us from a photo shoot we did when he was 5 years old. And even he couldn't believe that was him in the photos, yeah?
It's crazy. Honestly, it's so crazy. It's like, to even think like now that I'm a whole adult raising a whole nother human being, it still hasn't sunk in. Motherhood has not sunk into me yet.
Yeah, let alone adulting. You know, no one talks about adulting. It's a real thing, and it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of responsibilities, and it's not fun. You know, if you mix that,
it's
with
not
motherhood.
Fun. I don't. It is. Yeah. It's not fun. It's hard work, and
I think this would be a good place to start. So, as a starting point, so you're a single mother, and we've spoken a little bit about your daughter, but can we just talk a little bit about what your experience has been like over the last couple of years or so?
Like, how long have we got? My experiences, I would say, like, I've only just got myself together.
How do you mean by only just got yourself together?
I think for the last, so she's coming up to 5, so I would say for like 4 years of her life was like a complete nightmare. So I gave birth to her. I was completely by myself, raising a baby with like no support from anyone.
When you say by yourself, can we go back a bit? So were you in a relationship with your daughter's dad?
Yeah, so we were in a relationship. So for about 4 years before I had got pregnant, and she was like a wanted child. I was on contraception. So it was like a decision we had both made to have her. So, and I think like, even on my Instagram, I've like touched on it before, where I've been like, I decided to have a baby because I felt so lost in my own life. And I felt that having a baby was going to bring some sort of like purpose and fulfillment to my life. But
can we just touch on that? Because that's a really big statement that you've just made, you know, having a baby, you wanted to have a baby so that it can bring some kind of sort of purpose into your life. Where did that feeling come from? And where did you get the impression that having a child was maybe the right, was one of the ways that people get a sense of a purpose?
I felt that, so for like years, for as long as I can remember, I have, like, when I was 13, my dream, believe it or not, was to be like, okay, I want to get married and have kids, and that's going to make me happy. And I held on to that dream for so long. So growing up, I got into like toxic relationships after toxic relationships, thinking that I was going to find this love, hoping I would find this love that was going to fulfill that dream, that was going to like make me happy.
And what did those toxic relationships look like?
Cheating, abuse, lying, just basically like pure neglect in the relationship. I was doing everything. I was the one holding the relationships together. I was the one actually loving. Like, I don't believe any of them actually loved me. They just needed me. And at that time, it was okay for them to need me because I needed to be needed, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Did someone to need me, because then it gave me purpose. So like the years went on and yeah, I fell into like relationships the exact same. It was just like I was caught in this pattern of unfulfilling relationships, like men that I was meeting. And I think I got to the stage where I was like, right, okay, I'm with this man. I love this man. And he's neglecting me. He's not around as much as I would like him to be. How can I keep this man? How can I make this man want me? It's like, right, him seeing me birth his child is going to make him want me. That's like point two. It was like, right, I've got nothing going for me in my life. I'm working like a admin job. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what my purpose is. And having a baby is going to give me that purpose. I've got something to wake up for. And I can tell you now, I was sadly mistaken. That's not what happened.
Yeah. Okay. Before we touch on, you know, when you went through the learnings and when you, you know, to get to the point now where you said I was sadly mistaken, mm-hmm. I just want to go back a bit mm-hmm. and kind of, you know, ask you just have a bit more of a discussion around some of the things that you've spoken about.
Mm-hmm.
So as a starting point, toxic relationships. So I'm quite familiar. I think I'm somebody who's definitely been in a few toxic relationships. And I think sometimes I've made bad decisions about the men that I've dated. And you also touched on that as well. And now, as I've grown older, I know that some of those decisions have been made because of maybe some of my experiences as a child, or maybe some of the trauma that's kind of been passed down to me, maybe generationally, or that I've experienced just through life. Yeah. So from your perspective, what are some of those things that you think made you perhaps maybe, you know, so, you know, in need of having to kind of go above and beyond in these relationships if the men weren't giving you the love back, as you said?
I think the need for it was, so I was raised in a lone parent family. So I was raised by my mum. Like my dad was like in and out of my life, like when it was convenient for him. So I, as a child, I remember like thinking to myself, why doesn't he want to be around for me? Why is it that he will show up one day and then I won't see him for months and months and months? Like, what is it about me that he doesn't want to spend time with me?
Yeah.
And he was like, there was domestic violence in the household. So he was abusive. And it felt like the only way I could try and manage his mood was if I,
impressed him, or if you were behaving in the right way.
Exactly. So if I impressed him and if I achieved, because that's going to make him proud. Essentially, it was like I wanted the drama, the abuse to stop. And the only way to do that was to like, yeah, impress him and keep him happy. So I've known that from like a very early age. Like anytime there was, I can feel an argument boiling up and I was like, right, it's going to get really out of hand. I would try and shift it from that to, okay, look at me, like I'm gonna shift your emotion right now, and that's not something I can control. Especially as a child, that was not something that was in my control. And then, unfortunately, that pattern of behavior went into my relationships as an adult.
Okay, I'm with you. You've clearly highlighted the impact that your father had in your life when he wasn't consistently available, particularly emotionally and there for you. Do you have any other examples of, you know, things that you kind of experienced while you were young that maybe you see now, you know, in your relationship with daughter's dad that kind of resonates with maybe what your mum was going through?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think like, and I love my mum to bits, and I want to just say that she is like the strongest woman I know and the most resilient woman I know. So what I'm about to say is like no reflection on who she is. But I think watching my mom stay in such abusive relationship for years and years, I think I adopted that behavior that if I stay around, things will change. Like that it was actually okay to stay in those type of relationships. That was all was out there. That was all that was available to me, was those types of relationships. Yeah. I didn't see any better. I didn't know any better. And that was what I had to model. That's definitely another impact, is just seeing my mom. Because I remember as a child, like asking her, like, why don't you just leave him? Like, stop him from coming round. And I just couldn't wrap my head around why, if this man is putting his hands on you, if he's emotionally abusive, like, why are we not doing something about it? Like, I couldn't wrap my head around it. And then, yeah, unfortunately, I've stayed in relationships for years where I've just tolerated so much and accepted it because that was normal.
Okay, so I guess in relation to what you were just saying then, the question that I would ask you is, do you think children need a male role model in their life?
I do, yeah. That's not even, like, for me, it's a no-brainer. I do. I absolutely think that having, like, a male figure, as long as it's a positive role model.
Yeah, because that was my next question. The next question I was going to ask you is, what if it's not a positive role model? What if in a situation, perhaps maybe like your mum, the best thing that she could have done is maybe, you know, separate with your dad and not be in that relationship? You know, what are your thoughts around kind of, you know, women who have to perhaps go off on their own? And I guess we can also touch on that as well, because I think, you know, if we go back a bit, one of the things that you mentioned was that in your own relationship, you know, you had your daughter as a way of trying to kind of maintain that relationship.
No, we're no
but
longer
you guys
together.
Are no longer together.
I think it's like important to say that whether it's like the mother or the father, if that person is toxic, they shouldn't be around. If that person is going to impact that child's life and create a situation where they're going to have to recover from their childhood like I have, then it's not worth it. And I deeply believe that if that father figure in their life is toxic, is abusive, then yeah, they need to separate. They need to go their own ways. It's really not worth it. Like I think it's easier to explain why someone's absent later on in life than trying to help them go through counseling or therapy for trauma because they've witnessed X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. Could you just go back a step? Did you say you think that it's better for people to have therapy for their trauma when they're older or not?
I mean, I've had counseling. I had counseling last year, and I've also had it in my childhood. And I think it's like person dependent. I think that like counseling and therapy is like a perfect solution for like it's an ongoing perfect solution.
Yeah.
And I think if it was more affordable, people would be having counseling like weekly. Believe me.
Yeah.
I spent my own money last year to have counseling. And the only reason I stopped is because I was like, right, I'm spending like hundreds a month, like just for this counselor, but I would continue to have it. Absolutely.
I agree. I think I'm somebody who also tried to go down the private route and I tried to pay for therapy, but I couldn't afford it. I figured out quite quickly that I couldn't afford it. So I had to go through the NHS route, which meant kind of being on waiting lists and doing a few sessions here, a few sessions there. But I don't regret it, but I do agree with you when you say it is kind of like a lifelong process. And one of the things that's come along to my reality, and I think this is probably where our conversation is going to kind of boil down to, is how the experiences and the things that you've been through maybe as a child or the traumas that you've experienced has a really significant impact on how you live your day to day. And sometimes you can have therapy and you can have counseling and all of that, but still when you're making decisions or when you're doing certain things, it's within that mind frame, you know? It's still kind of like, it could still be decisions based off of trauma or based off of kind of neglect or based off of low self-esteem. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Like, it's so key to like highlight that it is an ongoing like recovery isn't just like, oh, okay, I have 3 months worth of counseling, then I'm fixed. It's really not that simple. It is like an ongoing journey of recovery. And even now, like, I'm an empowerment coach and I work with females to help them make that transformation from where I was to where they want to be. Like, even as a coach, I still have to work on my own recovery. I have my own coach. And yeah, it's so key to understand that it's not, counseling and therapy isn't just like a quick fix solution. And it is something that people need to continually work on.
That's beautiful, because I was going to go back to the beginning when you said that, you know, you believe that it's important for children to have a father figure in their life, a father role model. So, you know, what's your ideal role model for your daughter? The ideal kind of what you'd be looking for? Not ideal, because there's no such thing as perfect, but what are the top three things that you're going to look for when it comes to that father figure?
I think someone who is, I don't want, like I said, I don't want my daughter to ever feel scared to ever speak up on her feelings. So it's so important that this person, this role model, allows her to be open with herself, no matter what she says, if that makes sense. Like, they need to provide a space for her to, yeah, to be open and share. Like, that's so key for me. I think number two is, they obviously need to love her. Like, they need to love her. And if we're talking about someone who's coming into our unit, and then, and you know, this is someone that's not actually her dad, like, I don't expect someone to love her like they, like she is their own. I'm not expecting that, but I'm expecting them to, it's not expectation that fair. I have, because birthing my own child, I know that if I met someone with their child, I'll keep it real with you, I'm not going to be able to love that child as much as I love my own, and that is the truth of it. So I'm not placing that expectation on someone, but they need to care for her, and they need to have her well-being at the forefront of her mind. We come as a package at the end of the day. If I love her, you love her. I'm not expecting you to love her as your own. So create a space for her, love her, and I think, like, teach her. There's things that I see my friends do, or, you know, like, there's things that they believe in because, or they know and understand certain things because their dad showed them that. I didn't have that. I want someone to be able to teach her things about herself and help her grow, because I really had to figure that out myself. And it's like, sometimes I remember back at, like, in the past, like, people be like, oh, my dad showed me how to do X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, oh, like, that would have been funny. Like, my cousins, like, their dad would take them fishing. And I'm like, geez, like, that's not even experience I've had. Like, just little things like that, if you know what I mean. Like, just things that a woman might not necessarily be able to show.
To do.
There's not, we're superheroes anyway, and we can do everything. But you know what I mean? Like, there's just certain things that we just, you, like, for you, you've got a son, like, there's certain things that your son, that you might not be able to show your son. I don't know, I don't have a son, but I know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, because I think even as he's grown up as well, he needs more privacy. He needs more of these types of things. So I have to tell him to speak to his dad if he has any issues, because I don't know, and I can't really relate, you know, so I do feel like there are barriers. But then, even if we're not talking about, like, his overall reproduction and stuff, or just his growth, I think I also like the fact that he can, like, do sports with his dad, because his dad's, like, got more stamina. He's going to be able to go on for longer and all of that stuff. And they could just do weights and push-ups. But I don't want to do those things. I want to do, like,
exactly. I think, like, okay, if my daughter was a son, like, I'll be honest, I don't want to talk about football. I don't like it. I don't want to watch it. And, like, that's something that, like, I would enjoy with his dad. And, you know, like, that's how they bond. But, yeah, so it's just, like, just teach her things that I might not necessarily be able to, and that she might be interested in. So those are the three things, like, yeah, open space for her to, I don't want her ever to be afraid of someone. I want her to have an open space to share her feelings, her thoughts. I want her to always feel loved. Thirdly, like, yeah, for him to teach her.
Amazing. Amazing. Okay. What advice or self-care routines or things have you done in the last year that maybe other mums can also incorporate in their own household?
I think, like, firstly, if you are currently caught up with someone who is not making you happy, like, as hard as it sounds, you need to cut ties, because while you're trying to recover, you can't be there for somebody else who is just bringing you down. That's firstly. Secondly, some of the things that I did was, and I know it's really hard with COVID at the moment, but I started to take myself out on dates. So, like, every week I would go out with me, and that's something I've never done in my life. Like, the thought of going, say, like, to the cinema by myself, that would never happen. But yeah, I learned to be like, right, I'm going to take myself out, go to the cinema, sit there and enjoy standing still with myself. If they can, like, take yourself out on a date when COVID's over, like, go out, go and sit down at a restaurant and eat by yourself.
And sit down, but it sounds like they will.
If you're by yourself, you're probably more guaranteed to.
It's true.
Or, like, go out, like, right now, like, a tip would be go out for a picnic. Okay, it's hot. If you've got childcare, go out by yourself, pack some food, take yourself out on a picnic. If you drink, like, take a bottle of wine and treat yourself. Like, self-care, absolutely. Like, run those hot baths, ladies. Light those candles. Is, like, that's so key. So those were things that I were doing, was, like, having, like, nice long hot baths, listening to some, like, really nice music, candles, reading a book, and just really, like, standing still with myself. Another tip is, like, journaling. Like, oh my god, journaling is amazing. Every night I was, like, journaling before bed, and just, like, really writing out, like, how I was thinking and feeling. Because I think, like, when we're caught up in these, like, toxic relationships, or when we're so busy with, like, being single moms, we can become so out of touch with who we are. And journaling is a really good way to be, like, address, like, how you've been feeling, what you liked about the day, what you didn't like. Like, you can address so much through journaling. So
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. And I think I've had great moments with journaling. I think I've used it to talk about my day, talk about my, you know, things that I want to achieve and so on. But what I think is really powerful, and I don't know if you ever do this, but it's reading back, because I keep all my journals. And it's funny because I'm quite an organized person, so I always have, like, a piece of paper and a pen around me anyway. So I've been kind of, like, subconsciously journaling for, like, the last 10 years or so. So I have, like, diaries that I find, and there's all my notes, and I look back and I read them and I just see the growth. And I'm like, wow, I can't believe, like, this is me. I can't believe I did this. I can't believe I dated this guy. I can't believe I let him do this.
Amen. Yes, because that's something I do. I look back at my journal and I'm like that's how I know it was, like, a year, like, this time last year I was, like, in the worst place. I bet if I picked up my journal, there's a diary entry on this date, and I can tell you exactly what it would probably say. And it was like, there's no hope, my mental health is shit, why am I not loved, I'm going crazy, I'm never going to feel myself again. Like, I can, like, literally, I wish I had it in front of me, like, prepared, because I could have read it out. And where I'm at now, you would never know that we were the same person. And
so what would you write tonight? If you were to do a diary entry tonight, what would you write?
Be like, I'm feeling great. I've done a podcast, which is, like, been, that was a goal at the beginning of this year, was to be like, right, I want to hop on someone's podcast. So nice. Like, I'm fulfilling a goal.
Well, I'm glad it was Sassy Single Moms. Yes. Happy to have helped you achieve your goal.
And I wanted to do it around single moms. So it was like, when you reached out, I was like, yes,
nice.
Yes. Like, This is crazy, because I spoke that out into existence through my journal.
Yes, manifestations. Yes.
I'd be like, girl, you are doing the damn thing. Like, you are out here feeling happy. You've got no man in your life. You're not crying yourself to sleep at night anymore. And you're making moves. Like, and you're helping other women do that. Like, what more can I ask for? My daughter's healthy. I'm healthy. What more can I ask for? Like, honestly, I can't even, like, before, last year it would have been like, right, I just want someone to love me. Like, any man, please, anyone take me. Like, now I'm like,
yeah,
please, it's not even on the agenda. Like, it's not. I'm doing
it. Yeah, it's right. And it's such an empowering feeling, isn't it? From the days when you probably, you know, may have felt worthless, or maybe have low self-esteem. Now it's like, I love it. It's like absolute confidence. I'm like, you know, I don't need a man. I look great. I look amazing. I'm dressing up for me. I'm going out for me. I'm having dinner for me. And like, yeah, what, like, I don't care.
Whoever, like, I know for me, like when I used to go on nights out and stuff like that with my friends, like finding like a potential husband was like so key. It was like, right, I'm going out.
Yeah, it was like the thing.
Make or break my night. Like, and like, when it didn't happen, I would honestly be devastated. Like, right, there was no potentials and it was a shit night.
I know.
Like, oh my God. Like, I'm going out for me, and I go out wearing like my flat shoes because I want to be able to dance all night. I'm not even thinking about like potential.
Yeah.
Like I want to help other women just get to that point where they're like, I'm doing me, and don't even look in my direction. Don't even sniff in my direction if your intentions are not good.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And yeah, I know that feeling. I think every girl to some degree goes through it, but maybe in different on different levels. But yeah, I definitely know when you're going out, looking out for a guy, you know, every guy like, oh, is he interested? Like, yeah, no. And the joke is, they say that clubs and nights out is probably the worst place to meet a guy. And because I don't go out as much, I actually meet more interesting guys just outside of the club. So I'm glad I didn't meet my husband in the club.
Exactly. Like, I feel like, for me, I always joke with my friends, I'm like, I'm literally waiting for my husband to turn up at my door with the post. Like, that's how I'm not out there trying to like find him in a club. And actually, like, I'm not even saying that that can't happen. It's just never happened for me. But I want to meet someone like, you know, where you have that like instant connection, and
yeah,
it's just like there, and it's hard to find in the club because you see that you'll have that instant connection with someone, and then they've got the same connection with the girl the other side of the club.
It's true. And there's alcohol involved, you know, you're drinking, everyone looks good, everyone feels, you know, everyone looks good, everyone feels you're having a good time. So it just adds on all that sentiment. And then you see them outside and you're like, oh, you're not even like, you don't even look that cute anymore.
Oh my God, the amount of times that's happened. Like, that's how desperate for love I was.
No, I wouldn't see it as desperate for love. I would see it as just like, you know, as a woman who, no, I think it's the opposite of that. I see it as people who have love to give. Do you see what I mean? It's like you have so much love to give, and that's only a positive. But the problem is that there are people out there who see that in you, and they take it for advantage, and they take advantage of that.
You have to think, like, a lot of the men, like, okay, for me, like, I would say probably 9 out of 10 of the guys that I've dated have had some sort of issues with their mum. And I think, like, when they meet me, they see that nurturing, loving role, and the same way I need them and to fulfill that abandonment from my dad, they need me to fulfill that from my mom. And that's what I found in like previous situations. Like I said, 9 out of 10 of the guys I've dated, that they've had some issues with their mom, and I've just got a lot of love to give, and I'm like, right, okay, I see this person, they need some love, they need fixing, and I'm gonna be the one to do it, and I'm gonna turn them into the guy that is going to be so perfect for me. But they you fix them and they go off.
Yeah, that's it, that's the problem.
I'm with you.
That's the problem.
Like, and I'm a mess.
No, I agree, and I think I've been conscious of that, whereas I think I'm maybe on a different spectrum in the sense that I do have a lot of love to give, but I'm quite particular about the guys that I decide to give this love to. And the guys that I do go for don't necessarily end up being the right guys, if you know what I mean. Yeah. So actually, if I fell in love a bit more, and if I opened myself up to date more guys, then I'd probably be all right. But because, you know, this is in the past anyway, but I was quite picky just around the guys that I wanted to invest my time in. And I was like, you know, he has to have this and he has to have that and he needs to come from this and that. But then I realized actually, because I had kind of like, I had such a strong idea of the kind of guys that I wanted, when I met those guys, they were either too stubborn, our personalities clashes, they were idiots, they were just like, you know, there was always a problem with those kind of guys. So when I read the book, Women Who Love Too Much, you know, these guys ended up being what the book describes as just like drama, you know, there's just drama in one way, shape or size. So what I should really be going for is the guys that previously then I would consider as maybe boring or maybe not as like entertaining or whatever. But those guys bring peace, you know, and it's only when I found peace in myself, because before I was drama, I was like, you know, dealing with like the difficult relationship I had with my mom, dealing with being a young mom, transitioning into an adult, you know, transitioning into an older child who was also turning into a teenager. So my mind was just kind of like all over the place. And I think that kind of perpetuated itself in my relationships, maybe not in my relationships, but in the type of guys that I went for. So a lot of the time it was, you know, he's got another baby mom, or maybe he's doing this, or maybe there was just drama. And it seemed fun, but actually it was all wrong. And now that I'm like at my, it was just all wrong, every part of it. And now that I'm at my recovery phase and I'm just like, and I know what peace feels like and what contentment feels like. So now I'm looking for a guy, or at least I want to meet somebody who definitely makes me feel like that. And I'm even able to see now where in the past I may have dated people and they did give me this sense of contentment and this sense of fulfillment and this sense of peace. But because it wasn't what I was looking for, I didn't value that relationship. But now I'm like, oh my God, I need to like, it's all gone.
No, I completely understand you. I was, for me, I was just completely the opposite. I'll take anything. Like anything that would love me, like that. And that is the truth. Like anything, anyone that would just love me, that was enough for me. If you told me you were going to love me, I'd believe it. That was enough. You didn't even have to show me. As long as you're telling me, we're good. But now, like, I'm so ready to, I've got stuff, like I've got goals that I want to achieve, but I'm ready to meet someone because I feel like I'm in the best place to be in a relationship, if that makes sense. Like, I'm so ready for it mentally, that I'm like, right, like let's do this. Let's do this. I'm ready for someone to be like, do you know what? Like, I'm going to treasure this girl. She is amazing. She knows her. I'm going to respect her boundaries. And grow together and grow together. And not take anything away from one another. I'm so ready for it.
We'll have to do a follow-up episode on dating and what that's going to be like post-COVID.
Yes.
Once you get yourself back out there and how that.
Yes, let's do one on dating. Like, oh, I'm so excited to do that.
Exactly. It's like sassy. I'm ready. Like, I already know you before you even talk to me, you know? It's going to be like Joe from You. I already know everything. I already see everything. I see right through you. So don't even come with no game.
I feel like I should document my first date, like post-COVID. If I was like willing, just be like how I would do things so differently. Like, like I should film it and like document it and like, yeah,
it's milestones, you know, and if there's a way that you can write it down, whatever, because there is, you do see the difference. Do you know what I mean? You see the difference in the way that you just switch things over on how you react. So if recording it or documenting it, putting it in a diary and being able to kind of share it with women is what that first experience could look like, I'd say do it. Why not?
Why not? Why not?
All right, Gemma, I'm going to end it here. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Winnie.
And that's it for today's show. If you'd like to share your story, email us hello@sassysinglemoms.com or get in touch on Instagram @sassy_singlemoms. You can also find us on all podcast platforms.